Oh, hi. Hi.
Awesome. Okay, Rita, we're all here now.
The gang's all here. All right. Welcome to the Awkward Root Podcast, where we talk about mental health, life, and everything in between. So, of course, I'm Ruby, and today we have Leticia and Rita. I know Leti because she used to work with me. She was a community health ambassador just like me, and she is awesome. She's like Wonder Woman.
Thank you, Ruby.
Always there to help someone, always there to rush in and save the day. She's like my hero.
I appreciate her.
And I'm so glad that she's here to talk with us about sleep today. And that is something that I am in desperate need of. So when you reached out to me to let me know you wanted to come on and talk about sleep, it was like God himself connected us, because that is something that I really need to talk about. If you'd just like to introduce your research partner a little bit, that'd be awesome.
Okay, I'll start by saying who I am. My name is Leticia Carrera, and I'm so happy. Thank you for having us. Ruby, you've been also a great person in my life. You've inspired me to do a lot of soul searching. So I just want you to know that. And I appreciate your platform and sharing the different issues that really plague our community sometimes, that, you know, they're kind of subtle factors that we are really not aware of. So it's important to make sure that you do learn something, that we share it with our community, that way that our well-being is actually what we want to achieve. Like I said, my name is Leticia Carrera, and I'm an undergraduate student at the University of California at Berkeley. And one of the things that we're involved in this year is our public about sleep and the importance of sleep. Due to the pandemic, a lot of disruption in things that are actually things that, in terms of, you know, being able to perform well in our jobs and our, in actually all aspects of our lives. So that's why we're tackling sleep today. Me, and I'm so blessed to have Rita with me. I'm gonna let her introduce herself, and we'll begin the podcast. Go ahead, Rita.
Yeah, thank you so much. So I'm Rita, and I'm also an undergraduate at UC Berkeley, and I'm so excited to be here today with Leticia to talk about the importance of sleep and sleeping well. So thank you so much, Ruby, for like giving us the opportunity today to speak on your platform.
Yes,
no problem.
And so the way we want to conduct the introduction to our topic here today is just to give you a little history about my background. As I was growing up, there's different cultural issues also involved in actually coming to the understanding of how important sleep is. A lot of factors play into the fact of how we prioritize sleep, how, you know, how much information we have about sleep. So our goal here, and I'm going to let Rita begin the presentation by explaining certain things about sleep so that we can have a understanding. And we're going to try to keep this as less technical as we can so that our public could understand, you know, where we're coming from. So I'll let Rita in information first. And if you have any questions, Ruby, in between, you can stop us and let us know. And we are going to furnish you with some flyers and some literature so that in case people have extra questions, that you're able to furnish them with that. Okay, Rita, you are welcome to start your part of the presentation.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was, what is sleep? So like, we've always heard like sleeping is important, but what exactly is sleep? So basically, sleep is kind of like a state of our mind and body, and it occurs like it's natural and it happens at least once every day. And generally, sleep, it's like characterized by, like, you lose awareness of what's going on outside. You can't feel, smell, hear, touch outside information. And you're kind of like disoriented in time and space. And you don't really know where you are, and you kind of lose a sense of time. Like when you go to sleep, you don't realize how much time has passed until you look at a clock after you wake up. And generally, when you sleep, you see like images and dreams. And generally, someone who is sleeping is in a horizontal position, but like any position works. And generally, they have like relaxed muscles, like low muscle tone, and they're not responsive. So like if you call their name or you like yell at them, they don't wake up, but it is reversible. So like if you shake them. So those are generally like the basic outline of what is sleep, like how can you tell someone is sleeping. And in sleep, there are like two main types I'd like to emphasize. So there's non-REM and REM. So REM basically means rapid eye movement. So basically these two stages, they alternate in like a 90-minute cycle. So for humans, it goes from like non-REM to REM. And basically in this non-REM, you're kind of getting a lot of deep sleep. And then in REM, you're kind of getting dreams. And generally like in both, you can get dreams. But in REM, it's mostly like the dreams you remember. So, you know, sometimes when you wake up and you realize, oh, I had a dream about this and this, the chances are it's from REM and you're remembering what you dreamt in REM. And another really cool thing about sleep is that there's something called a circadian rhythm. So it's found in all species that sleep. And it's kind of like for humans, a 24-hour internal clock. And it's in sync with the light and darkness outside of the earth. So it's like really cool that our bodies can tell, like, even if there is no light. So like even if you're like, they did a study and there were people who, they went in a cave, some researchers, and they found out that it still persists. Like your body still follows this 24-hour clock that's in sync with the sun and like the nighttime. And it's like really cool. It's like inside you. And basically as the circadian rhythm increases, so like your drive to be awake increases, and once the circadian rhythm decreases, like you your drive to be awake, so you kind of become sleepy once it decreases and you want to like go to sleep. So that's basically just a brief overview of sleep. So like Ruby, if you have any questions, like just let me know.
I don't have any questions. It's interesting that I think I always had NREM and REM mixed up.
Yeah, that
was the deep sleep. So it's always funny that I always had those two mixed up.
Yeah,
it's like
really a lot of people are not aware of the different stages of sleep. That's why Rita's going over the stages so that we can segue into a more in-depth conversation. So continue. I'm sorry, Rita.
Oh yeah, no worries. So yeah, like basically like there's non-REM and REM. So non-REM has like four stages in it, but generally like we kind of group them together and we call them non-REM and then REM. So it's like, I guess a more like easier way to think about it. But yeah. So I think the next thing I kind of wanted to talk about was, why is sleep important? So basically like there's a bunch of benefits of sleep, but like some things I wanted to highlight was that sleep helps strengthen your memory. So like as you mentioned, there's like a REM and a non-REM. So apparently like when you're in REM sleep, you kind of strengthen something called non-declarative memory, which is like memory of riding a bike, driving a car, typing on a keyboard, kind of like, you know, those things that just come to you naturally. And then in non-REM, you kind of like have declarative memory. So this is like numbers, addresses, names, facts, kind of like book knowledge. So this is what kind of gets strengthened in non-REM. And
oh my god, I don't mean to interrupt you, but
that
makes us a lot of sense as to why I've been forgetting a lot of things lately.
Yes.
I haven't been getting a lot of sleep over the last few months and I forget things all the time.
Hopefully I'll make that more clear as I segue into what happens when you don't get enough sleep. So stay tuned for my part. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like really important to make sure you get both, because like each one targets a different, you know, aspect of memory. So I feel like if you don't get both, like if you don't have a good balance of both, you might forget one or the other or both.
Yes.
Okay, another kind of like benefit of sleep I wanted to mention though was like sleep. So it helps with memory a lot, but it also like kind of helps heal and recover you from like mental and physical exertion. And it also kind of like helps you solve problems. So I don't know, like there's like a really popular saying in some places called sleep on a problem. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so basically it actually is true. So when you're sleeping, your brain is actually solving the problem. Like it's trying to find an association, like a link between that problem, and it figures it out. So it's actually like, if you're ever stuck, you know, and trying to figure something out or solve something, just go to sleep and you probably will figure it out once you wake up.
That's great advice.
I've noticed that works too. Like, and I never really thought that, oh, my brain is solving it while I'm sleeping. I just thought, oh, it must have just been easier to figure out after I've had a good night's sleep. But I never thought my brain was still working to figure it out as I was sleeping.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like really cool. Like, I mean, especially if you're stuck on something for so long, like throughout the whole day, you just keep thinking and thinking and you can't figure it out. And then you go to sleep and you wake up and it just like magically pops up in your head. But actually your brain is like helping you out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and another like thing I just wanted to really like emphasize is that sleep actually helped strengthen your immune system. And I think this is really important, especially since we're in COVID times and the flu season is coming up. So yeah. They actually did a bunch of studies and they found that if you take the vaccine and you sleep like well before and after you take the vaccine, you actually have better antibodies and they last longer than if you don't have good sleep. So like if you're getting your shot, like a flu shot or the COVID vaccine, then like make sure it's like really, really important to sleep good before and after.
That's huge. That's something people really need to know, especially because two people in my household just got over COVID and I just got over the flu. So yeah. That's something that we definitely need to make sure that people know, because we're coming into the flu season and COVID is really kicking into gear. People are getting breakthrough infections and getting boosters. And so yeah, people definitely know, get some good rest before and after they get those shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and definitely.
I'm gonna jump in a little bit. When we initiated this talk about doing this podcast, it was important for me to let Ruby know that, because as COVID, you know, as ambassadors, we're always trying to find a way to optimize the effect of vaccines, and so that's very important. And having this information, you know, that I'm learning at school is important, because once you receive information and you apply it to your life, you're able to share with the community. And so that's where the power comes in, that, you know, we're able to impact our community with that information, not just learn it, you know, but just actually share it. So I'm very grateful to Ruby for that.
And what about for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like really important, like all this like information. I personally was surprised too. I didn't know a lot of this, and like after taking that sleep class that we're in right now, it's really, really like eye-opening, you know, learning about this. And I think it's really nice that that we have an opportunity to go and spread this information to the community. So thanks so much for that, Ruby.
Yes,
no problem. Thank you guys for this opportunity, because I'm learning so much already.
Great.
That's good. Oh, okay, so last thing I wanted to just talk about was what happens like during we sleep. So that's just like the last topic, and then I'll hand it over to Leticia. But I just wanted to like say, so during like the non-REM sleep, basically when you're in this, so this is like the deep sleep, your blood pressure is lower, you're like sleeping relatively still, like you're not moving. And your breathing and your heart rate are kind of like slow and regular. So you might notice that your heart rate drops if you have like a Fitbit or something, and you look at your heart rate across like the time you sleep, it actually goes down by a lot. And so if you were to do a brain scan of this, you'd actually notice that when you're in like the deep sleep, you have slow waves. So, but there are some times like during the, there's like, so in non-REM, there's four stages. So generally like when you're in the stage 2 and 3, there's like kind of small bursts, but then it slowly becomes into like the deep slow wave sleep. Yes. And then for the REM, there's kind of like, this is when you're dreaming, so I guess as you can imagine, there's going to be a lot of brain activity because you're like fully involved in your dream. You're seeing all these, like you're feeling all your emotions, all these like past memories, you know, they're all just coming in front of you. And The thing is, REM is called rapid eye movement. So actually, when you're in REM sleep, your eyes are moving left to right. So if you were to like look at someone when they are in REM sleep, you can see their eyes like moving left and right. So that's actually really cool.
Yes.
And it's like kind of like your body, it locks you down. So you kind of also in REM sleep, you're kind of like paralyzed in a sense. Because, you know, if you weren't, then you'd like go in, if you're dreaming about flying, you might as well just jump out of your bed and like fly. So so your body's kind of like paralyzed, and like so most of your movements are kind of like stopped, but obviously like you can still breathe and have like your heart rate. So it's like those stuff are still going, but the other stuff, like moving your hands, moving your legs, those are all just like
relaxed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I had to say. So, Lucy, see if you could take over.
Well, thank you, Rita. That was amazing. The important thing about introducing what sleep is and what happens in sleep is because sometimes we have a broad idea of what sleep is, but then we don't have that solid understanding of it. So thank you for that. Now that we have a little bit more information about what sleep is, my section involves what happens when you don't get enough sleep. Rita had mentioned that our bodies need that sleep for different functions, metabolic, which means, you know, your metabolism has a chance to recuperate from the daily activity. So if you get that much needed sleep at night, that this is when your body is restoring you from whatever things that you went through during your day. The information that you actually learned is processed and stored. So all these functions and processes that happen, that occur when you sleep, are vital. So when you don't get enough sleep, things start to get out of balance. And one of the main things to remember is that you want to maintain a healthy circadian rhythm. And that's just a big word for saying your internal clock. All of us are genetically made differently. So our sleep depends on how we were genetically made. So even that, you could interrupt by not sleeping well. So I'll start by saying that there is two terms that I want to define. One is sleep deprivation and sleep deficiency, because sometimes we kind of blend those in together and it's important to know the difference. So sleep deprivation is a condition that occurs if you don't get enough sleep, whereas sleep deficiency is a broader concept. It occurs if you have one or more of the following. So if you don't get enough sleep because of sleep deprivation, in other words, maybe you have shift work or you go to sleep late, and so that happens to interrupt your sleeping cycle. So also there's other things like you sleep at the wrong time of the day, so you're out of sync with your natural body clock, which is what we call circadian rhythm. So also there's another aspect of sleep deficiency where you don't sleep well, or you get you don't get all the different types of sleep that your body needs. And the last point that I'm trying to make is also that you have sleep disorders that prevent you from getting sleep and cause poor quality sleep. So that's just a broad introduction to what happens when you don't sleep. So I want to make sure that you kind of get the sleep deprived and sleep deficiency really cemented. So let's talk about some stats. Sleep deficiency is a common public health problem in the United States. Obviously, we touched upon that when Rita had mentioned that, you know, due to COVID, our sleeping cycles went haywire. Everybody was figuring out that it wasn't so easy to fall asleep anymore. And there's different factors, of course, that went into that. So people of all groups report not getting enough sleep. As part of the health survey that was conducted by the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, about 7 to 19% of adults in the United States reported not having enough sleep or rest every single day. And nearly 40% of adults reported falling asleep during the day without meaning to, at least once a month. So this is problematic if you're a driver or if you're flying a plane. Also, an estimated 50 to 70 million Americans have chronic ongoing sleep disorders that you know, we hear about, but we don't really necessarily know how detrimental that is. So sleep deficiency is also linked to a sane amount of chronic health problems. This, if you don't get enough sleep, we're seeing that there's causation between sleep deficiencies, sleep deprivation, and heart disease. And we're looking at problems like kidney disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, strokes, obesity, and even depression. I've heard a lot of people during the pandemic, their rates of depression went sky high. And why? Because our circadian rhythms are getting that disruption that is occurring because of different factors such that we're going to discuss. And that happens because, you know, we are getting out of sync with our natural clocks. And there is another part of our body that needs to maintain an equilibrium. It's when homeostasis happens in your body. So there's different mechanisms that your body utilizes to maintain your temperature, to maintain your metabolic rate. And that in turn is associated with your weight control or weight management. So all these things are synchronized when our bodies are sleeping, and they're able to like work optimal when the right amount of sleep is actually introduced into our systems. So another thing that I would like to share is that sleep deficiency is also associated with the increase of injury in adults, teenagers, and children. For example, like driver sleepiness, alcohol, of course, that's a different monster in itself, is responsible for serious car crashes and deaths. And in elderly, as we age, our body's ability to produce a neurotransmitter that's called melatonin decreases. So your body has a harder time falling asleep. On top of that, you add all the factors that we're talking about that don't allow you to sleep anyway. And this creates, an insane amount of problems, like falls for elderly and broken bones and just medical implications that we do want to make sure that our public knows about that so that they may optimize their sleep. In addition, a sleep deficiency has played a role in human errors. And I was just talking about little ones, but now if you really put yourself to think about the tragic accidents, like people that work in nuclear plants, you know, there's been, it's been known that people that, you know, have night shift work or work in environments with lots of light, it interrupts how our circadian rhythm functions. So being out of sync and getting sleep deprived may cause, you know, people that fly planes or drive huge, large ships, and, you know, even it says nuclear reactor meltdowns. These are big scale, big scale problems. So
I actually highlighted that on the transcript because my mouth dropped, but then it seemed so obvious, like, of course.
Yes, and people don't make that association, that causality is not allowing them to link that to that, because obviously we have this myth within our culture that says, you know, people can learn to get by on little sleep without no negative effects. And that's a myth, because according to our research, it shows that not getting enough sleep or the right amount and quality of sleep, that interferes with our mental health, our physical health, and basically our quality of life, period. Mm-hmm. I have included a link on the flyer that we're going to furnish to Ruby. So if anybody's interested to do further research, that's an option. Okay, so
I just wanted to add something about the sleep deprivation. So like, actually, like if you are awake for longer than 24 hours, it's kind of equivalent to having 0.1%. I mean, 0.1% of alcohol. So like, it's kind of like, not being awake for more than 24 hours is kind of like the same as being legally drunk. So like, that's how bad the impairments are. And
yes, and we have some drivers, like night shift drivers that have been sleep deprived and have these effects. So that's why we see, you know, the National Highway Traffic Safety Association, they show all the statistics, and it's frightening because people don't make that connection. Yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go read it.
Oh, no, I just wanted to like also mention that like for especially for adolescents, like for each hour of sleep lost, the odds of like being obese also increases by like 80%.
And yes, I'm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
I'm glad also, you brought that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also for like sleeping less than 8 hours, an adolescent is like 3 times more likely to do a suicide attempt if they're depressed. So like I was like honestly shocked by these stats. Like, yeah. Kind of scary.
Yeah, about that.
Yes, it's a good. I'm glad that you brought that up because the short-term problems that I'm going to share with you is the lack of alertness, which even in as little as 1.5 hours, it can impact how you feel during the day. So in other words, what Rita was talking about, you know, you don't really realize that when you're sleep deprived because you are not, you're not alert. So the fact that you're going to have these effects are going to be, you're not going to be able to decipher that. So excessive daytime sleepiness is a cause also of sleep deprivation, and it makes you sleepy during the day. So this is happening throughout the day. And so if you see that happening, a lot of people don't relay that to, oh, wait, let me stop my activities. And sometimes we can't because we're at work. So it's important to be able to know that that's one of the effects of sleep deprivation. Also, like Rita had mentioned, impaired memory. And we also have, like she was saying, depression, which is related to relationship stress. And then quality of life. Of course, you can't participate in your normal daily activities because you're so tired. And because basically, even if you're getting 24 hours of sleep after you've been sleep deprived for X amount of time, unfortunately, sleep is not like that. When you miss out on the sleep that you were sleep deprived of, you can't make it up. It's the benefits of that point in time where you needed to sleep. You can't make that up. It just the effects just get more negative and more negative. So it's important to make sure that we're getting as much sleep as we can so that we can optimize our alertness and our cognitive functions during the day. Some of the other things that I want to also present are some sleep disorders that, you know, unbeknownst to us, a lot of us like have suffered. I know a lot of my friends that have commented on this. And when I was growing up, my father used to work, you know, 3 jobs. So he used to get home at about 10 o'clock at night, and he had a hamburger because he was a cook. And so we would be, the only time we had to spend with him was that 10 o'clock and on. And we would, you know, share that little time with him. But that was really detrimental to my sleeping habits because at 10, my circadian clock was ready to eat. And which is not healthy for a child growing up, you know, but that in itself says a lot about what other people are going through in our community. Sometimes their parents sleep at night, you know, sometimes they don't, sometimes they have night work, sometimes they're not alert. And so things get shaped. All these factors are making our schedules, you know, set. So it's important to know all this so that we can, you know, eliminate and make provisions for the times we're not going to be able to sleep. So like I was saying, and like Rita was mentioning, it is linked to your weight control, because if you don't sleep, then your metabolic processes will be out of sync, which means that now instead of you building up leptin, it's a process and it's a chemical in your body that allows you to feel hunger and allows you not to feel hunger, ghrelin. All of these processes are interrupted. So now you don't know when you're hungry. Now you're hungry at 12 at night. So things like that shape, you know, your sleeping habits, and which I'll get into and maybe give you some tips on how to make those more regular. So the sleeping disorders that we are faced with is one of them is insomnia, and it's defined as. Yes, go ahead. Yes. Did you have a question? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was saying I'm familiar with that beast.
Yes. Insomnia is defined as a persistent difficulty initiating or maintaining sleep. It is known to cause daytime cognitive impairment, including reduced memory functioning. This is really important because a lot of us, you know, we work in high stress environments where cognitive functioning is vital. So even how we perform at work is really linked to, you know, how much sleep you're going to get. So keep that in mind. And then the disorder that also is plaguing us now is excessive daytime sleepiness and things like narcolepsy and also sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is a little different than the others, but let me speak about excessive daytime sleepiness. As Rita was saying, the sleep pressure is a function where your body is increasing the sleep pressure so that your circadian rhythm could allow you to know when to fall asleep. So your body creates the sleep pressure, and as the sleep pressure decreases and increases, then you know when to sleep, when you're feeling sleepy, when you're not. And so when that's not happening appropriately, what ends up happening is your body's like all over the place, and it's, I need to sleep now, or maybe I don't. But in the day, you get sleepy at odd hours, so you're not able to function the way you're supposed to be functioning. Narcolepsy is just an imbalance. It's just complete imbalance of how your sleep is initiated and interrupted, and it's not normal. So you end up sleeping without your consent, basically. And so people that have narcolepsy don't have control over, you know, when they're going to fall asleep or not. So it's a very, very problematic disorder. And it's associated with memory lapses, because at any point of your processes, it's not allowing your brain to cognitively store the memories. And so it interrupts even that. So sleep apnea is a little bit different, but what I want to mention about sleep apnea is that a lot of us, it's more common than not. And it's like a temporary cessation of the airwaves where during sleep that you're not getting enough oxygen to your brain. And so this interrupts your sleeping cycles, and because good, a lot of things that I mentioned up above happen. So let me segue to this. What are important things that we can do to create healthy sleep habits and what I call healthy sleep hygiene? You know, when I was growing up, I never imagined that the National Sleep Foundation chart even existed, which is a recommendation on how many hours each person needs to sleep. And like I said, I'm going to include all this so that you could see, but just a little bit of information, that an adult 26 to 64 years old has to get at least 7 to 9 hours of sleep to function correctly. And so this is very, very vital and important, because a lot of people don't realize that there is a time that you should at least minimally have. And a doctor from the clinic, from the Cleveland Clinic, has said that the minimum hours of sleep should be at least seven every night to improve your health, so, and to stay well. So now I'd like to go over a little bit of the things that you can do to improve your sleep. And if you have any questions, you can stop me at any point. And
I have is, what do you think that doctor would say about an adult who has been getting by on 5 hours of sleep a night?
You know, it's really funny, but we did have that question asked, and some people are genetically able to do that, but there's only a minimum amount of people that actually are genetically prone to be able to function off of that. The rest are basically, in the end, it will be more detrimental to continue in that path. So we don't encourage that, but we know people that are able to do that and function okay, but they're rare. There's genetically rare. Yeah,
I'm sure that
like
I'm
looking for long term, you know, like sleeping for a long time.
Yeah, the long-term effects of that basically is, you know, and I'll share this, the National Agency of Research just put a label on night shift work because they found a causality between the interruption of cryobiological, and I say that as a term of it interrupts the circadian rhythm of our sleep, so they had to deem it a carcinogen, just as bad as something that causes cancer, because it suppresses your immune system so much where you're not able to fight off things that occur to you during the day. So now your immune system is not able to protect your body. And I mean, and this segues to cancer, basically, and you're more susceptible to all that. So my recommendation is never, I'm not a physician, but I do recommend that if you do have sleeping problems, that it would be a wise thing to go ahead and consult with your physician always. Even if you're feeling, I'm not feeling bad after 4 hours, but you know, that is not regular. So it's important. Yeah. It's important for you to go ahead and contact your physician for that.
Oh yeah. I know 5 hours sleep is not doing it. I definitely need more sleep than what I'm getting.
Yeah.
And also, like, just wanting to say, like, also, like, make sure you don't, like, self-medicate. I feel like that's a big problem, yes. Especially, like, how you can get all these melatonin pills at, like, Walgreens or like, any pharmacy near you. And then, like, we learned, like, it's really bad because they don't really have a standard for these. So, yes. If you ever have any, like, if you ever need to, you feel like you need to take some medication, like, always talk to your doctor first, even if it's over the counter.
Yes.
Yeah, the melatonin from the store used to work, and it does not anymore. So I don't take that anymore.
Yeah.
They're like this pill, and yeah, it worked for a while, and yeah.
The thing about the melatonin is a lot of people don't understand the process of melatonin, so there's no real way of regulating how much you're getting in the over counter melatonin supplements. So it's really, yeah, like Rita was saying, it's important to. And doctor know first. So I'm just going to briefly finish because I know that time's advancing, but this is the things that you could do to improve your sleeping hygiene and sleeping habits. That way you can optimize your well-being. So we have our goal is to at least have a fixed wake-up time and also prioritize our sleep. And make gradual adjustments. If you're a pilot and you work nights and you work days and you work swing shifts, it's important to be able to understand how to, you know, adjust your internal clock to make sure that you're back in sync with your regular, the way you sleep. So there's different things that you can do. And like I said, I'm going to include that. I'm going to include all the websites you can go ahead and get information about that. Also, don't overdo naps. A lot of people, when they're tired, they'll, all I need is a nap, but the nap turns into an hour, 2 hours. So we recommend that you take a nap for at least 20 minutes, but try to limit the nap in the morning and in the afternoon, early afternoon. That way it won't interrupt your sleep pressure so that you'll fall asleep easier at night.
So also, like, if you have insomnia, like, don't nap though, like, it's kind of dangerous.
Yes.
I mean, not dangerous, but it kind of affects it, like, it has a negative effect on your, like, sleeping at night if you nap and you have insomnia.
Correct. So just almost done here. How to follow a nightly routine. Please keep your routine consistent. If you're going to wake up at a certain time and sleep at a certain time, try to keep that consistent. And, you know, try to create a routine where you're, you know, what time you're going to go to bed and, you know, your preparation, you know, 30 minutes before. Make sure that you're able to, like, start setting up that so that the target time of sleep is actually maintained. Budget 30 minutes for winding down. Dim your lights. That's another very good advantageous thing to do. Unplug your electronics. You know, the blue light from your electronics, I don't know if you're aware, but it activates your brain instead of shutting it down, so it'll be harder for you to go to sleep when your target time comes. Also, a lot of people benefit from methods of relaxation, whatever that looks like to you, maybe mindfulness, meditation, praying, whatever helps you to relax and to actually start winding down your mental activity, that's beneficial as well. Now, it's said that when you toss and turn in your bed, it's a good idea to get out of your bed so you won't associate your bed with restlessness. So creating that link to your bed where it's comfortable and the environment in your, you know, in your sleeping quarters is positive, then you're probably more prepared to want to fall asleep. Cultivating healthy daily habits. A lot of things that affect your circadian rhythm, like daylight, one is the sun, of course, and you know what kind of light you're exposed to. So make sure that, you know, your room is, you know, conductive to sleeping. So it's recommended that you don't have bright lights. And, you know, I know this generation has LED lights, and so that's creating all this imbalance, and they don't even know. So they just think it's cute. And so it's important to know that too. Be physically active during the day. Make sure that you're exercising, you know, a little earlier than later. So because also exercise makes you active, so that's going to be harder for you to sleep. Also, curtail your smoking. Also, alcohol is also an aggregant. Obviously, it does make you fall asleep, but then it interrupts the different cycles of sleep, so it's not recommended. Caffeine is another monster that we want to warn our community about. We want to make sure that people understand that caffeine is an aid, but it masks the effects of the sleep pressure, and it disbalances your circadian rhythm and your homeostasis processes in your body.
I'm actually going to go back to the alcohol one. Alcohol, actually, mm-hmm. people think that it helps them go to sleep faster, but it doesn't. If you drink enough of it, it'll make you pass out, but it actually disrupts your sleep more than it helps you go to sleep.
Yeah, and once that disruption happens, you can't get the quality sleep that you need. So that's the problem, that people do fall asleep, but they don't feel rested. And they're not rested, and they're not able to, like, restore, you know, all the effects of the alcohol. So that's really, yes, I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people have that myth as well.
Yeah, they drink till they pass out, but then they're not sleeping. And then once it wears off, they're awake, they got a hangover.
Yes, hangovers are a big one too, because, you know, that is actually, the alcohol is the only chemical that could bypass your blood-brain barrier, which is, the effects go directly to your brain, so it's very detrimental. It destroys the neuroplasticity of your brain, and also it decreases the brain size, which means that, you know, your cognitive function will be impaired. So it's important to keep that in mind.
Literally straining your brain thinking you're helping yourself get to sleep when you're not. So
yeah. So there's other factors that you can implement, like, you know, blacking out lights. There's also, like, make sure that you're wearing earplugs if you need earplugs if somebody snores in your family. there's common sense things that you can do, like calming scents, you know, all the other extra. Also, just this last one is the control of your temperature. You know, before, when we didn't have thermostats, we didn't have to worry about the thermostats, right? There was cold, there was hot, and it was, you know, but it's better for us to keep it cool around 65 degrees so that your body and your bedroom temperature will be suited for sleeping. It'll promote sleep. Anyway, so we know that everybody's different, and personal sleep hygiene is going to be different for everybody based on their genetic makeup and all the factors that they have going on in their particular space in the world. So, you know, find ways of optimizing your sleep, and my message to you always, and I love my community, and I love the fact that I learned this, because now I could say, you know, we prioritize exercise, we prioritize work, let's prioritize sleep. That's my takeaway.
Yeah, definitely, like, well said.
I will try to how tired I am for a while now. I can't even say how long. That's how tired. So I will try to implement a lot of these things. I told myself that I would shut up and listen this time, and I tried my hardest.
Well, if any questions arise, Ruby, you know where to get a hold of us, and like I said, we're going to leave you with some flyers. I'll pass by and furnish those for you. And hopefully you can get that information out to our community in a different way. So we're very happy and pleased to be able to share that with you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm so glad you guys were able to come on. I'm going to get this posted. I'm going to try to get this posted today. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And I'm going to have these flyers posted up with this podcast. And everyone have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.